So today's word is Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 9 to 13. And the title of the sermon is What Will Determine My Future? And the reading is, as I said, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 9 to 13. So Moses wrote down this law and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. Then Moses commanded them at the end of every 7 years, in the year for cancelling debts, during the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, you shall read this law before them in their hearing. So what's important is we need to know who we are in our lives. When we look at the entire history of the Bible, I want you to really think about, instead of what you're going to do, what kind of person you are. And I want us to focus on that before we start the chronological study of the Bible again. Today, the historical background to today's reading, it had been about a year since the people of Israel had entered into a covenant with God at Mount Sinai, and about a year since they'd received the Ten Commandments from God. They had learned what values they should live by in this world. They'd finally left Mount Sinai, and they'd started off finally on their journey towards the Promised Land. But we can see in the book of Numbers and the Bible that the people of Israel were full of complaints. Their life in the desert would have been full of difficulties. It would have been expected that people complained. However, at the root of their complaints was a lack of trust in the promises of God. They didn't have surety in their identity that they received at Mount Sinai. And so they were full of doubt instead of faith in God. So eventually they reach a place called Kadesh Barnea, and they send 12 spies into the land of Canaan. And when they heard what the spies had reported back, they were all put in fear. When we see this, as I said before, so when they're at Mount Sinai, or in today's world, Mount Sinai is the church, they didn't really truly meet the truth of God at Mount Sinai. All they wanted was a God to help them in their weaknesses or with the hardships that they were experiencing. They wanted a God who performed miracles when they needed it. And so last week we talked about the importance of Mount Sinai and what it means to be saved. We need to know the truth of God, and we need to know what our identity is. But this is something that the first generation of Israelites failed to do, realize the truth of God and know their identity. And basically, they simply wandered the desert for 40 years and died in the desert. So all the adult males, the first generation, had died. And so Moses' age was about 120. And so the people were about 60 years old, the adult males. So it was eventually the second generation which made its way into the Promised Land. And Moses had shed a lot of blood, sweat and tears in leading his people to the Promised Land. But what happens is he and the first generation all end up dying in the desert. He ends up leading his people to a land that directly opposite the land of Canaan, divided by the Jordan River. The Moab Plain. It is at this point that he's close to death. He's close to his time to be called by God. And this is the historical context to our reading today. The people of Israel were like small children in their faith. They were immature in their faith. Moses was 120, but he was extremely healthy, and he was of sound mind. He had a purpose. His calling and his passion was to bring the people into the Promised Land. But before he goes and steps onto the land of Canaan, he's called by God. And it was at this time that we're looking at our reading today. He really wanted to take them into the land of Canaan He wanted them to settle there, and he wanted to see that with his own eyes. But God had called him before that time. That is, with that kind of heart, he then teaches them the contents of the book which is contained in the book of Deuteronomy. When we look at Moses' life, for the first 40 years, he'd lived in a palace of Egypt as a prince of Egypt. When he was young, until he was around 40 years of age. However, he would have been at the age of 40, he saw the Israelites fighting. When he tried to intervene, he killed someone. And so then he goes into the desert and he lives as a shepherd for another 40 years. And so when he reaches the age of 80, he was called by God to lead the people out of Egypt into the desert. And when he was 120 years of age, he was now where we are in our Bible verse today, his situation where he's teaching the Israelites the God he had known throughout his life. He was teaching them the truth about God to them. He was teaching them the truth of God's heart and how he works. And that's the words in the book of Deuteronomy and what we're looking at today. So from the Israelites' perspective, and from our perspective as we listen to these words today, these last words contain extremely important truths on how we need and how we can live a life that's a blessed life. We can use someone else's guidance about life so that we can move with more direction in our lives. So I want you to really pay attention. I want you to pay attention to how you can take on these lessons in your life. So when we look at this kind of background, we can see it's similar to our situation as well. So most of our parents are probably still alive. However, when you are in your 20s, 30s and 40s, you reach a point where you need to be independent from your parents and you need to establish and start your own family. So when we look at these similarities with Moses at the time of our reading, Moses was setting them out on their own to be independent. So when you're over your 20s, then it's time for you to become more independent from your parents. But there are some people today who are still helicopter parents or what you call kangaroo parents, and they have 30-something-year-old children, and they still live with their children for financial or other reasons. And there are adults who are still heavily dependent on their parents as well. However, Moses knew that the Israelites were not ready in many ways. He had over 100 years of wisdom about faith in his walk, personal walk with God in his life. So I want us also to learn what we need to learn to live in this harsh world, in this difficult world. I want us to be able to learn wisdoms from Moses as well. So I want us to, when we think about our 20s, we think that people are really young. For me, even the 30s and the 40s seem like a young age. But your 20s and 30s, what's it like? You're young, but you're poor. You usually don't have positions, and nothing is really certain in your life. But what you do have is limitless possibilities. You don't have anything in terms of possessions, perhaps, but the potential is limitless. So it's in a very important time. So I've said this quite often, but in your teens, it's a time for you to draw the blueprint in your life. And so once you've done that, then in your 20s, what you can do is just to start to build a foundation upon your blueprint, based on your blueprint, in your 20s. So a Japanese author by the name of Nakatani Akihiro wrote a book called 50 Things You Must Do in Your 30s. So people want to do lots of things. They do everything in their 20s. And sometimes they find that they try things and they fail. But the wisdom in this book is that you should try many things and fail many times. And that is a really happy and blessed time in your life. You should be able to discover what you want to do in your life in your 20s. And you should be bold in taking the steps that you need to do that in your 20s. So the author, the Japanese author, has a few points that I want to share with you. He says, if at all possible, travel as much as you can. He says, don't be a frog that's confined to the pond. Experience many countries and travel a lot is his first point. Second point, he says, if you start something that you need 10 years to invest in, to start those kinds of important things in your 20s. So that's why I think the early 20s is extremely important. But it's really a shame what a lot of people are doing in their 20s. But we see people wasting their time, their energy, and their potential. Some people just change their night and day altogether. They don't even read one book, but they see lots of DVDs, pornography, and they become like disabled people in their lifestyle. They start habits of not keeping promises with people, or they're late to things. It's quite a shame. And third point is, he says, to continue to keep making resolutions, even if they only last 3 days, make them again every 3 days. Just repeatedly continue in making resolutions. He's saying that's what you can do in your 20s. And next point is that you should try and meet people who are at the top of their field, who are at the top of the game, and see how they live, see how they do things, and follow. The next point is that you should find a role model, or the kind of life, a role model for you, or a mentor for you that you want to follow. Because when you follow them, you can also see what your path is. As a cover band, you may be doing other people's songs, but you find your own voice while you're doing it. And the next point that Pastor Trey makes is that, this author actually says that you should read, completely digest the Bible in your 20s. So what does this mean? So we should not fear meeting new people. We should, basically the author is saying that we should just be bold and courageous and forthright in doing things, in meeting people and doing things. Because meeting, your relationships are extremely important. And I think this is a really important lesson. Because when we're born, there are four important meetings. The first relationship is with your parents. The second is with your teacher. The third is with your friend. And the fourth is with your life partner. So when we have newborn babies or children, if the parents are Christians, what we should do... when we have newborns, they've already met good parents. So we should really be praying that their three other meetings, which is with teachers, friends, and their partner, would be good as well. Because in life, who someone meets and what their relationships are, that's going to change the person's future. So what about us? What is the most important meeting for us in our lives? Our parents, our teachers, friends, our partners? No, more important than that is a meeting with Jesus Christ. Knowing Jesus and knowing him is the most important meeting that we'll have, most important relationship that we'll have above all. So when we have babies, when we pray for them, we need to, as they grow up, pray that they will truly meet Jesus. That they will know God's truth in their lives. So whether we know God or not will determine not just our future, but our eternal future, our eternal lives. So if we are truly reconciled with God, we won't just see the things of this world as being the be-all and end-all. We'll see beyond that to the eternal life. And so then we'll know what our purpose is, what our end point is, which will make the path clearer for us as we live life on earth. But because people don't know this end point, people are going without direction in life. This is an extremely important meeting. But again, we say that the 20s is full of limitless possibilities, but once you sometimes go there, we try and do something, you don't have the ability, you don't have the money, you don't have the things you need to do these things. So that's why we need the faith in God in order, and we need to know this end point, because if we know that, then we know what we need to do today. So what is more important than what you're doing is who you are. Oh, sorry. Instead of what you're doing, what's more important is how you do it. How you live is more important than what you actually do from what you do. It's so extremely important that you hold on to the Word of God, that the values in the Word of God then determine how you live in life. And then you know how you need to live. And then we have the courage and the discernment to be able to say no to the things we need to say no to. Then we are clear in what path we need to live in life. This is what the Word of the Lord will give us clarity on. So in Psalms chapter 119 verse 9, it says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word." So in this world as we live, we should be learning on what our values are, and we should be investing on having a healthy and proper relationship with God. This is extremely important, and this will determine their eternal futures. When you graduate from whatever you're studying or doing, whatever you live alone or you're married or whatever you do, now you will have a role in whatever community you're in or family unit you're in or work you're in. But if we know how we should live, so your lives, whether at work or in your families or in your study, in your schools, that's a land of Canaan for you. When you go into the land of Canaan, then do you know your identity as someone being called by God? Are you living according to the standards that you should as the light and the salt of God? No matter how other people in this world live, they are so precious to God. We need to therefore have the values of God as the standards in our lives. We need to be able to meet the Word of God on a daily basis. We need to remember our identity in the promises of God and live according to the values and the Word of God in our lives. When we hold on to the Word of God, we truly know what we need to live for, and not try and attain the things that everybody else in this world wants to attain. And to hold on to the principles in the world of God and the Word of God, we need to live according to its standards and principles. So in our 20s, we have limitless possibilities, but nothing is certain. So a lot of people are preparing for their futures. So that is why Moses' sermon, which stems from 120 years of walking with God and knowing God, that's why his wisdom is extremely important to us as well. God knows us more than we know ourselves. He knows where we need to go. How can you live your lives when your future is uncertain? You may be here on a visa or working holiday. So how do you know how things will turn out in Korea when you go back? But if we know the values in the Word of God, and if we know our identity stemming from that, then we can live a life that God wants us to live wherever we are and whatever we're doing. Saul and David had never been a king before them, But they had to be king. Saul's life fell apart, but David was victorious. Why was the difference? Because Saul forgot his identity in the Word of God, and he ignored and neglected the Word of God. But David didn't forget his identity in the Word of God, and he went out to the Word of God and was close to the Word of God and lived according to the Word of God in his life. At the age of 20, when David had been anointed with oil to be the king of Israel, for 20 years, he lived a life in exile. He was running away from Saul, and his life was in danger during these times. His life was so uncertain in so many ways. But he remembered the promises of God. And he held on to the promises of God with dear life. And so then he was glorified and he was lifted up high by God as a result. What will determine your future? It's God's word and your relationship with him that will determine your future. Moses didn't look at the people of Israel and think, oh dear, what am I going to do to help them? They're just going to go into Canaan without any guidance. He didn't write a book on survival in the land of Canaan. But what he did was he looked back on his life. And what his basic message was, do not let go of the Word of God. If maybe your parents are Christians and they would have said to you, as you left Korea, to find a good church, to pray every day, and to hold on to the Word of God. And there might be parents who are praying for you to do this. If that's the case, then you should be thankful once again. It may have come in 1 year and gone out the other, but I want you to think about it once again, what your parents advised you to do. And Moses is also telling us to connect with the Word of God. And so how is he saying that we should connect with the Word of God? The first thing he's saying is to write it down, to have a written record of it. So Deuteronomy 31 verse 9, so Moses wrote down this law and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. You need to write down what's important in your life. And Moses wrote down the law of God. He heard the law of God from God, and then he wrote it down so that the people of God could continue to look at the law of God. He opened it. He didn't just keep it to himself. And so that's why we have the five books of the law of Moses. We see those in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and in Deuteronomy. God's basic laws, his foundational laws, are contained in these books. It is the standard. It is the standard to which they need to live according to. And so that the Bible's the beginning and the end of the Bible, the flow of the Bible, and the structure of the Bible are all contained in these five books. If he hadn't written it down, then the people of God would have forgotten God. So writing it is the same as remembering. So at the time, for 400 years, at the time of Judges, God's word wasn't the standard in people's lives. And it says that in the book that people just did what they thought was right. So at the time of Saul, there's no record. He doesn't mention the law of God. But at the time of David, it says that he did things in accordance with the word of God. That's in 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 40. So, and the kings to follow, whether they were evil or good kings, the difference was whether or not they did things in accordance with the law of God. When we look back on what we've recorded, we can be reminded of the Word of God, because writing it is stronger than our memories. Secondly, we need to regularly and consistently look back on what has been recorded. Deuteronomy 31 verse 11, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place you will choose, you shall read this law before them in their hearing. When we go into a bookstore, we meet many, we see many books. There are lots of books that probably aren't worth reading, but a lot of books contain people's wisdoms and what they've learned throughout their lives, what they've researched, and a lot of truths, very precious truths are contained in books. So if we don't look at those things, if we don't read those things, then there's no meaning to us. It's not just reading it or skim reading it. It's actually, we need to really digest and really read deeply into people's, and know the author's intentions and know the author's heart and the truth. When we read a book, that's what we discover. So I think I would like us to be a church that reads lots of books. But many people don't even read one book. And so people don't even reflect or meditate on the Word of God and prepare for cell groups. And a lot of people just lightly like skim over content and just don't really consider it as important or really think about deeply what they need to. If you haven't, as a young person, read a lot of books, there's no other real way to really develop our thoughts, our thinking. I think if you've got a basis of where you're, a pool of things that you've learned from books, that will help sort of help you really build up your thought life, your thought processes as well. So Satan wants us to come to cell, but he wants us to talk about other things, irrelevant things. He doesn't want us to really think about what God is speaking to us about, to us directly today. So I talked about the Japanese author in the book. He's saying make a goal of reading 100 books a year. And and not just read it, but really know the meaning of the book and think about the meaning of the book. And so I also ask you and encourage you to do the word summary and application, but not just to skim over it, but to do it, to think about it, to digest it, to really delve into it. Moses is teaching the people of God how they need to live in order to be truly blessed in their lives. Just reading the Word of God brings blessings in and of itself. In Chronicles number 2, 2 Chronicles chapter 34, King Josiah is introduced to us. He was the 16th king of Judah, around approximately 20 years of age. And the Lord saw him and said that he was an honest king, because he discovered the law of God, and what he does when he discovers it is that he tears his clothes, and all the Israelites do that as well. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 18. Then Shaphan the secretary informed the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. When the king heard the words of the law, he tore his robes. He gave his word orders to Hilkiah, Ahikam son of Shaphan, Abdon son of Micah, Shaphan the secretary, and Azariah king of the king's attendant, go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the remnant of Israel and Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the glory is the Lord's anger that is poured out on us because our fathers have not kept the word of God, the Lord. They have not acted in accordance with all that's written in this book. In the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul, spirits, joints, and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The word of God, we know it's recorded, but we actually need to read it. We need to read the Word of God in order to be successful in whatever we're doing. Moses didn't tell the people how to live a successful life, didn't give them a guide to successful living. It wasn't a self-help book. But what he did emphasize was that they should hold on to the Word of God and to live and to connect with the Word of God and to live by its standards. So the world, it's full of knowledge today. We're bombarded by knowledge. But if you don't make it your own and use it, then it means nothing. Therefore, you need to read the Word of God. And not just read it, but digest it. Think about it. Meditate on it. And this will determine your future. This is Moses' wisdom. Thirdly, Deuteronomy chapter 12, assemble the people, men, women, and children, and the aliens living in your town so they can listen and learn to fear the Lord and follow carefully all the words of the law. We need to not just learn the word of God, we need to act in accordance with it. There's no influence on the word of God as if it's just recorded. If we just repeat it, it falls on deaf ears. I think we have all experienced this where we heard the word of God and it really brought us to tears and really moved our hearts. But there have been times when we are numb to the word of God and we are paralyzed spiritually and asleep spiritually. And even if God shouts the word of God, we're deaf to his words. And basically, we just simply become play toys for Satan. So a lot of times, when we experience hardships and when our whole world falls apart, that's when we really are awakened to God's word again. Those kinds of lies are all around us. But God loves us. He doesn't want us to reach that point to turn to him. He wants us to walk in the blessed way of life. So when we continue to stray from the path, it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 29, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. When you ignore the word of God, your life is destroyed. But a person who's blessed is the person who does in accordance with the word of God, who acts in accordance with the word of God. Our worship, our cell meetings, we need to really make time to go to these things. So even in your workplaces, you might find it's hard to take time to go to cell, but be an employee that has the trust of your employer, who is precious to your employer, enough for them to give you time to go to cell or to give you time to go to church. When we don't hold on to the word of God, our lives become full of complaints, things become way too hard, and we just become Satan's fodder. We become his playthings. So in your lives, in your work lives, be faithful, be really hardworking so that they give you acknowledgement that you have that recognition at work, that they can give you that time without any issue for you to do the things that you need to do at church. So what we need to do when it comes to the Word of God, the best way to hold on to the Word of God is not just to remember it and not just to record it, but to really write it in your heart. Just as like when we eat food, we need to be able to digest it, and there needs to be output in order for us to be healthy. The same way, when we eat of the word of God, there needs to be actions that arise as a result. Your actions need to follow suit. It's not just to be stored up, the word of God. It has to be the energy that makes you act. So not just recording of the word of God is important. So then we need to be actors. We need to be people who act on the word of God like David. So it needs to be written on the word on your heart, and you need to be living a life of obedience. There are many people who are just pampered in their life and career, and then they come here and they can't do work properly, and they're not acknowledged by their employers. We need to be faithful in our workplaces, that even when it's hard, we persist in doing it. The example being people who cut onions and there's tears, like there's some really spoiled Korean kids who just say, oh, I can't do it, or they whinge about that kind of thing. But we should be people who just do our best when it comes to our workplaces, even if our eyes feel like they're falling out because of this of the onions that we're chopping. We need to do that faithfully. And then when we acknowledge in doing that, that's the kind of blessings in life that we need to experience. The fourth point is that a good way to connect with the word of God is to teach it. Deuteronomy 31 verse 13, their children who do not know this law must hear it and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land you're crossing the Jordan to possess. I think we, I think by teaching, we actually learn. And so when we teach, we are renewed in our, that teaching, and we are strengthened in that teaching. When I teach, I think I gain a lot of benefits from teaching. I'm reminded of the importance and of the truth that I'm teaching. And so then it is an opportunity to be reminded of it and to write it on your heart. And it brings about a change in the teacher. So when you're in the place of a teacher, it's a best place to actually learn. And so we shouldn't let fear stop us from going to that place. And so when we've learned the truth of God, we should be able to share it with our colleagues, with our friends, with the people around us. And this will become our energy, our spiritual energy when we do this. When we teach, it actually becomes clear in our mind. We are able to sort of systematically organize it a bit better in our minds. Some of us are in a place where we don't need to learn anymore. Now we're in a place where we need to teach. What is the use of your knowledge if you have so much head knowledge but you actually don't go out in the workplace and actually put it into practice? You need to be an intern and actually do the work. And so you may find that you feel like you're 2% lacking in something. Well, I think that doesn't come from your lack of learning, but from your lack of teaching. And that can be filled by your teaching. This is Jesus' greatest commandment that we teach. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he says to teach. When you think about your future, you may feel uncertain and you may be filled with fear. Will I be able to graduate? Is your future financially going to be stable? As some of you may be thinking, do I need to depend on my parents? Whether you can marry? Your uncertain futures. But what you should do with that is go to the Word of God and hold on to the promises and the words where he says, do not fear. And wherever you are, you should walk out and step out in faith. Because your faith is not about what you know, it's about what you believe. So the people, when they were stepping out, the Israelites were stepping out to the land of Canaan, they fell because, not of anything else, but when their faith failed, so did everything else. When you are disobeying God, you won't be able to hear the word of God. But when you obey God, that's when you can hear his voice. When we stand, when we're in disobedience, we won't be able to hear God's voice. But when you stand in obedience, that's when you'll be able to hear God's voice very clearly. When we step out in obedience, that's when we can see the miracles of God. Do not forget this. Your futures may be dark and uncertain to you, but go out in obedience in faith to God. Then God will hold on, he will make your paths clear, he will hold on to your steps, and he will make the way of life for you. He will put a light to the way of life for you. Abraham didn't know where he was being led or to what country God was calling him to, but he stepped out in faith anyway. And he held on to the word of God, even despite all his failings and weaknesses. And when he stood in the path of faith, and that is why he became the father of all people. And so he was able to have this great influence because of his faith. Do you want to live that kind of life? Then God is speaking to us through the wisdom that Moses had from his 120 years. Your futures may be unclear, but it can be blessed. And you can be a person of influence and a person of faith in this life. I want us to meditate on the Word of God and pray together. Let us pray. So many of us are busy trying to succeed in life. But what I'm trying to tell you, what is more important, is the Word of God. I'm sorry, I have to go. I'll just sign off now. Thanks.